you'd like to follow along or just listen carefully. And we'll just we'll read from 19 through the end of the chapter. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So there was a nun, a sister in the Roman Catholic Church, and she worked as a nurse, a visiting nurse. And one day she was driving to a patient's house, and she ran out of gas. And she saw that not too far down the road there was a gas station. So she walked there and she said, "Can I borrow a can and have a little bit of gas and I'll go back and then I'll drive back and fill up my car. I need to get to this patient." And the attendant said, "You know, we already loaned out our one and only can, and you'll just have to wait till it comes back." And she was a resourceful sister, resourceful nun. And so she said, "Okay, I think I might have something in my car." And she walked back. And she found a bedpan. She went back to the gas station, filled up the bedpan, and came back, and she was filling up her car with the bedpan, and two men were walking by, and one said to the other, "Now that's what I call faith." But faith is not an easy thing, right? I mean, even the most faithful of us, the people you think they have it all together and every day they're doing right, it's not the case. Not the case. Sometimes we set people up by acting like everything's always all good and fine and dandy, and that's just not the way. Jesus never promised that things were going to be easy, right? And so today we look at Thomas. Thomas is a great gift to us because we can see ourselves in Thomas and Thomas in us and vice versa. Doubting Thomas is the name, right? Does anybody ever not have heard of Doubting Thomas, right? Everybody's heard of Doubting Thomas, and he kind of gets a bad rap for that name because it says sort of has a negative connotation when all of the disciples did not believe until they saw him risen, right? None of them believed until they saw him risen. So we get to look at Thomas a little bit. And maybe take some notes about how can we relate to Thomas. And one is that we struggle with doubts. We struggle. That's just part of our faith journey. And the name Thomas, Didymus, means twin. So we really, inside of us, we're a twin. There's a believer in us, and there is someone who's not necessarily a believer all the time. We struggle. Sometimes we're doing well, sometimes we're not doing well. Even John the Baptist in prison asked his disciple, his follower, "Go ask Jesus if he's the one. If not, you know, we need to find somebody else." And
Jesus says, go back and report to John what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, good news is preached to the poor. And then John was encouraged before he was killed. So even John the Baptist has struggles and doubts. So today's a day to really take a look at this scripture. And there's so many messages in this lesson today. And we have to decide what do we do every day that helps us be stronger in the faith. Amen. You don't just say, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon without training, right? Faith is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Just like conditioning physically, you are what you eat, right? What do you take in? If you don't feel that healthy, look at your diet and your exercise plan, all of that. Same with spiritually, your spiritual food and exercise. So we look at the scripture and it says that Thomas was not with the disciples. I have it underlined up on the screen. Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. And that's the first point today. And it seems like just a simple little thing, you know. That he was not with the disciples when Jesus appeared. And we know the word says, where two or three are gathered, I'm there. And Thomas, we don't know what he was doing, right? He was somewhere else. The Bible doesn't say what it was. But you know what? When you don't come to church, I miss you. I miss you. Amen? You might be right here sitting today thinking, I have something more important to do. You might be thinking that. Someone's not here this morning because they decided when they woke up something else was more important than going to church. And we live in an epidemic that the word that comes to people's hearts and ears, the devil whispers, this is more important than being in worship, right? You know, it's the Ten Commandments. It's not the Ten Suggestions, right? You know, you heard that, right? Honor the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath. And it's powerful. So we look into this and we can intimate, let's guess at some of the things that Thomas might have been doing other than being in the upper room with his brothers of the faith, right? Let me look across the street, see if anybody's golfing. You know someone's golfing right now. I see people golf. It's freezing. It could be a hurricane. And there's someone out there trying to hit that little ball in a hole. And I can say, if I see someone from church, I go, I saw you from church on Sunday. No, I'm kidding. But some people think that that's more important. And everybody has the freedom to choose what's important, what's not important. But I want you to really understand, when you read the Word of God, we hear from Hebrews 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, right? Hold to it, cling to it. For he who promised is faithful, right? If God can be faithful to us, can we be faithful to God? Can we say, I'm going to honor the Sabbath? And it says, Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's hard to spur yourself on, right? When I see Mike Sams and I see his smile and say, how you doing, Pastor John? It helps me. It helps me. It spurs me on to be a better man of God, a better servant. On my own, I struggle. It's amazing how one good encouraging word can help someone keep the faith. Keep the faith. And you don't get that if you don't come to church. So many people tell me, Pastor John, I'm a believer. I believe in God, but you know, I just can't get to church on Sundays. I have this, I have that, I have this. And you know, when I walk out in the woods with my dog, I say prayers and I say, thank you, God. I'm saying, oh, that's really great. But you miss out. And to put it simply, Thomas missed out on the risen Lord because he didn't go to church. That's it. What else was he doing? Was he doing landscaping work? I bet some of you got to get that first mow in, right? You know, you're looking at your lawn. Oh, geez, got to get mowed. You got to do other things. You might have other things, even work that doesn't give you a break too. And other commitments, other things that you think, you know, that just nag at you. We're living in an epidemic of just busyness. Of this other spirit contrary to God that says, you best get to this. This is priority one. Then you miss. You miss what Thomas missed. And that's an experience of the risen Lord. It's that simple. So I want you to think about how important that is. You know what? Mike Nolan, who's here with us today, there was one Sunday when he came to church He knows I'm going to share this, so he's okay with it. When I say your name and I start talking about you, you must be like, what? But anyways, Mike, it was the morning that he woke up and he thought, I don't know if I really want to go to church. I could do this or whatever. I just didn't. But he went just out of discipline, just out of commitment, just out of faithfulness. I'm going to church. And he sits next to a woman by the name of Lisa Wagner, who's battling cancer. She's only in her 40s. And she's having a hard time. And she's Catholic, but she loves to come to our church. She loves to hear the word of God and just be loved and cared for. And she sits in the pew, and Mike just happens to sit next to her in the middle of the service. She's overcome because of her illness. Physically, she just feels sort of energy leave her, and she passes out. She faints. And Mike catches her so she doesn't hit her head against the pew or the floor. Literally saving her life at that moment, acting as God would want him to act, to care for someone, a stranger. And Mike said later on, and to think I almost didn't go to church today. Now that's a physical kind of, I was there to do this, I was there. If I wasn't there, I wouldn't have been able, then she would have fell and been hurt. Every Sunday you come, you need to believe that your presence makes a world of difference. Amen. Who would I be preaching to if it was empty pews? Yeah. Like, but you know, the devil whispers retreat and isolate. It's a huge problem today. And not just for older folks. Older folks, I think, understand that a little bit more than some other folks who are busy with the busyness of life. But everyone, and especially people who think they are connecting with people with texting and Facebook and other things, there's nothing that's ever going to replace face-to-face. And in fact, I think we should start a ministry called face-to-face ministry. We actually look into someone's face. You want to make someone comfortable, stare at them for a little bit and just smile. Right, Rose? But nothing will ever replace that. And so Thomas missed that. And then when he gets there, he says, I'm not going to trust your testimony. You say he's alive, and it wasn't just the disciples, it was the women as well, and the other two followers that were walking to Emmaus and ran back to say, we've seen the Lord. He didn't trust any one of those, and he had walked with them for 3 years, and they were brothers in the faith, and he had seen Jesus do amazing things, and still he says, unless I touch his hand, see the nail marks, and touch his side, I'm not going to believe. And that's the second point. Don't put up ultimatums to God. Don't pray in such a way that you say, I'm going to put you in a box, God, and if you don't come to me in this exact way, then I won't believe. God is a God of surprises, right? You don't know that, you know, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on them. That's the presence of God that gave birth to the church. And when you welcome the Holy Spirit, you're saying, not my will be done, but yours. I believe that you're going to come to me in all different varied ways. And I want to be ready to receive your presence. Amen? And Thomas says, ah. And I always think, what a week he must have had, right? Everybody else is on fire. And he's like, stubbornness. I'm not going to believe until God comes to me in this way. And you know what's interesting? This has been misinterpreted to say, basically, blessed are those who don't see yet believe, as in you don't see God. Jesus is saying, blessed are those, us here, who trust in the testimonies of those who saw Jesus alive. And last week I mentioned that in the Bible, if you count everybody up, it's 515 people that saw him risen from the grave, alive. So blessed are those who trust the word of God, that it's not made up, it's not a story. These people didn't lie. They had personal contact with the risen Lord, and we say, hallelujah, I trust in that. I wasn't there to see Jesus, but I trust the testimony, the gospel, the truth of the word of God. And I love how we say often, you know, how are you? What do you say? I'm blessed. And when we read, blessed are those, it can be interpreted same with Matthew 5 at the Sermon on the Mount. In the Greek, makarios means happy. Happy are those, right? Happy are those who trust in the word of God and the testimonies of those who say he's alive. You know, there's a joy that comes with faith. You know, it's not coming and going. It's like we stand on the foundation. Psalm 40 said, happy is the person who puts their trust in God, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And if you want to know who you worship, what you follow, look at your checkbook and your calendar. That's your life. That's what you put your life on, right? In the end of your life, physical life, when you look back where you spent your money and your time, tells you what you bow down and worship to. And so I just remind you today to understand how important it is. And Psalm 40 says, it's such a beautiful psalm that just says, Lord, you've lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the muck and the mire, and you put my feet on the solid foundation. Amen? Amen. And so today I want you to think about how, are you committed to coming to church? You know what? The best Sundays are the Sundays you don't want to go, but you go anyways. And I've heard that again and again and again. I was this close to not coming, but this was the Sunday the Lord pierced my heart and gave me a message. So I want you to think about how often you come. And don't miss. Don't miss. And then don't pray prayers that put God in a little box. Be open and see God is revealing God's self every single day to you. You know what the interesting thing is, too, that even insurance companies, there's research now, those who go to church regularly, not a couple times a year, regularly live 7 to 8 years longer. To quote Bill Murray from Caddyshack, so I got that going for me. So I got that going for me. Amen? Amen? You also recover from surgery a lot faster, and today we're praying for Elizabeth, who just had knee surgery. You know, there's facts to people of faith that when you believe, and it doesn't mean everything's okay, but when you walk the walk and you're consistent in it, joy comes. It sneaks up on you. And it doesn't go with what the world says what joy is, right? And last week I wanted to lift up, and I said, ask me why I'm wearing this tie. Some of you did, and some of you know, that there was a little girl in Westboro that died of cancer, of leukemia. Her name was Mira Tutasia. Mira Tutasia. Can you just say her name? Can you say Mira Tutasia? 5.5-year-old girl who died of leukemia. And the funeral director, Dave Pickering, and I are very close. And I always say, if anybody needs any help with anything and they come to you with their grief, you know, call us up. We Methodists, we say yes. Then we ask questions later. You know, we say, sure, we'll help you. Well, how are we going to do this? God will provide. And so I got a call from Mira's parents while she was still alive in hospice care. His name is Jatin or JT and Bhavia. And I met with them. Mira died on February 11th. And we decided to pick April 20th, the day before Easter, to have her service right here. And JT and Bhavia are not Christians necessarily, but they're open. And because we said, we love you, we will travel with you, we'll cry with you, and we want you to see God is real, Jesus is risen, we will be with you through this hard time. And so Amy Neal and Christy Zen played double treble, and it was beautiful. The music was outstanding, wonderful. And we had church folks come, and strangers to JT and Bhavia, to just, on your behalf, on God's behalf, just say, we love you and we grieve with you. It was not God's plan that Mira would die. And so we had the service that night. They both came to the Easter Vigil. And what JT said right from this pulpit, too, was that Mira was a girl that just loved so unconditionally, just gracefully, grace-filledly. And he mentioned right from here, he said, and it reminded me of the scripture today, because when you forgive someone of their sins are forgiven. He said that his daughter, 5 years old, 4 years old, going through cancer treatment, when they had to do something that was really difficult, she would say, I forgive you, Daddy, it's okay. And he said that they learned from her about forgiveness. Really, we prayed that Bhavia and JT would see Christ, the risen Lord, in us, which they did. We heard of the risen Lord through Mira. Amen? Little girl, you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. And then on sunrise service up outstanding in the field, up at Tufts, after the service we're coming out, a woman comes up to me and she says, I'm Liz. I was at the service yesterday for Mira. I was Mira's hospice nurse. I traveled with her until she died. I just want to tell you how much the service meant. And she was in tears. And then she turned around and she saw Bavya, Mira's mother, power walking past our sunrise service location at Tufts. And she said, Bavya, and she said, Liz, and they embraced. Bobby's going to be in church next Sunday. I want you to welcome her. And JT and Bavya have said, if anybody's hurting, said, let us know. We are willing to talk with them and encourage them to have faith and to know that people do love and do care and there is a God. So I wanted to lift up that whole story because God gives us the tools to be able to love people who are hurting. Instead of stepping away, we step towards people, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And that you have your own issues that you're facing. The best way to face those is go help somebody and be the living Christ for them as they will become the living Christ for you. And you know, it's interesting that Jesus entered the upper room though the doors were locked, right? He appeared, his body somehow could go through the doors. But the interesting thing is, as I said earlier, that he gives them peace. He doesn't berate them. He doesn't say, you failed miserably. And he had every right because he was abandoned. You know, they all left him when he needed them most. But the first thing he said was peace, shalom, as a gift. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. They didn't earn it. He said, now you're going to go forth and share this word with the whole world. And they did. But I think it's important for us to understand this is peace is a gift for us. You just have to be open to it. And we can see that in this hurting world. And also that the even though Jesus can get into locked rooms, Jesus will never kick down the door of your heart. You have to willingly invite Christ in, amen? And say, I want you to live in my heart. I want you to come inside my heart and give me this purpose and peace that I don't have on my own. I can't have on my own. So don't miss a Sunday. Come every Sunday. I promise God will bless your commitment. And realize your presence is ultimate of importance to somebody else. You never know how your involvement in church will literally save a life. So we're going to segue now to our time of prayer. And we do have some prayers to lift up. But the Sunday after Easter, right? You're in church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen? You're here. It's kind of like the Sunday after Christmas. Kind of after Easter is the least attended in the Christian church. And I just love that you come and you, this is a place where you feel good. You feel peace. You feel hope. You feel joy. And you trust that God's given us the tools to see God, right? God's given us fellowship. We see Christ in each other. God's given us God's word through Christian education, getting into the word of God. We trust in the promises. These are written so that you would believe and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, right? And then we have missions, right? We don't just sit back and say, Lord, you know, come find us. We go and we serve in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We say yes to people who are hurting. We go to Africa. We go to ASP, Appalachia. And it's amazing when you do that, you will see Christ. Amen. So let's now share prayers if people are so moved. Are there prayers we'd like to lift up before we have our closing song? Yes. Nathan, we'll pray for Nathan. Other prayers this morning? Yeah, Kendra.
I'm not sure if you heard about the tragedy
this last
Wednesday in
Melbourne. Yes, the Blasco family.
I
worked
with this woman.
You worked with her. It's awful. Bob and Phyllis actually were neighbors or near. So we want to lift up the Blasco children. Amen. Other prayers this morning to lift up? Thank you for not missing church. George,
I'd like to
love you.
Lift up our friend, dear friend, Lisa.
Lisa.
In Florida. She's adopted her 12-year-old twins to save them from drugs and alcohol.
Mm. Amen.
She needs our prayers. She's a woman of God. She turned everything over to God, but she does need our help.
Amen. Lisa, we want to pray. Amen. Other prayers this morning? that we'd like to lift up. We want to lift up those who are facing grief. They're in the valley, and we walk with them. Jill Dupree's dad died this week. Steve Brom's mom, we want to pray. And Patrice Riella's dad. Bob Rand's father, too, within the last week and a half. Elizabeth had knee surgery. She's doing well, but she had a little complications coming out of anesthesia, and Avis was there with Morio, and Elizabeth was a little bit confused, and it's interesting. She looked at them, couldn't find the word. The only word that came out was holiness. Believe it or not, that came out, holiness. I'm like, well, that's a great word if that's the only word you can find, holiness. And so we want to lift up Elizabeth, who's recovering from knee surgery. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Let's be with each other in the spirit of prayer. Praise God.